He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the August 4th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had a red hot day in the market yesterday. We may see a little bit of consolidation profit taking today. That's what the futures are indicating, but you never know. There's a long ways until the close, and that's really all that matters. But right now we've got Dow futures down just 50 points. That would put it at about 26,500, somewhere in there right now. And of course, there's still this huge gap between the Dow, which is down 8% so far this year, and the NASDAQ, which is up 22% so far this year. Luckily, we're focused in the NASDAQ this year. S&P futures down 15 points right now. That's for about a half of a percent. 32.73. S&P broke out yesterday, however. So did the NASDAQ. I can't remember if the Dow was close to breaking out, but I don't think it ever did. And I'm talking about breaking through resistance levels. Russell 2000 down just a few points here this morning, 0.3%. Crude oil. Been weakening a bit lately, I think, with the coronavirus spikes around the country. That's not helping. Crude oil down 75 cents to $40.26. Gold continues to flirts with, but can't get a date with 2000 yet, but I think it's just a matter of time. Gold's up 350 to 1989. Silver up 3 cents, 24.44. Bond market in rally mode, 0.53% now on the 10-year. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know what? They're calling it mega cap. Let's see. What was the terminology I saw this morning? And it certainly does accurately. In mega cap mania. That's what we're seeing in the market right now. The mega cap stocks, the Apples of the world, the Microsofts of the world, the Amazons of the world, continue to dominate the market. And obviously the NASDAQ continues to dominate the market. Well, that's where the growth is. If ever there's a testimony to the fact of what I've been saying, that markets follow growth of earnings, it's the difference between the NASDAQ performance this year, 22% year to date, and the Dow, 8%, negative 8% year to date. And where do I continue to say most of those big soggy stocks are with slow earnings growth? The Dow Jones Industrial Average is full of them. Although the Dow does have Apple and Microsoft in it, maybe it ought to consider putting Amazon in there. You know, there's some weird reason why Amazon can't go in the Dow. Whatever it is, they ought to get rid of it. I mean, if Amazon is not a dominant player in the U.S. economy, I don't know what company is. But anyways, you've got most of the soggy stocks, slow growth, single-digit growth for the most part in the Dow. And, you know, these big NASDAQ tech stocks, you saw the earnings that they reported last Friday, the blowout earnings, and just how dominant, much to the chagrin of both Republicans and Democrats, how dominant these companies have become. If you can't beat them, own them. That's what I say, and that's what I continue to do. Not all of them, but I do own several of those big, large cap, mega cap mania stocks. NASDAQ hit record levels again yesterday at the close. The Dow was up 0.9%, but the NASDAQ was up 1.5% yesterday. NASDAQ closing at 10,903. The countdown to 11,000 continues. Don't know if it'll get there or not. Earnings estimates going forward suggest it will, however. Looks like we're going to back off a little bit here today, and that's, I would say, mostly over the fighting that continues on the stimulus package, although it's a foregone conclusion that they'll come up with a package before they go on vacation. They know how to spend money. That's the one thing that they can all agree on, besides the tech companies being a bit scarier. At these levels, they can all agree on spending money, and they will. They'll write a big check, at least a trillion, before they go on break. I guess what's in the stimulus package has got Wall Street chewing its fingernails today. The S&P was up 0.7% yesterday. So the big gap, the huge gap between the NASDAQ and the Dow continues. You know where else there was some just red-hot action yesterday? Red-hot action. And here's another area of the market where you've got a gap that you could drive a battleship through. The gap between the bricks and mortar retailers and the online retailers. These online retailers, now some of them have never turned a profit. I don't think Wayfair or Overstock have ever turned a profit, never made a nickel in earnings on their overall business models. But they sell a lot. They deliver a lot. And the move in those online stocks, yesterday I talked about the ETF iBuy, which I've kept you posted on for several years now. I had the creator of iBuy on back when it first hit the market. You know how much? Just if you would have listened to that show, and I've had him on a few times since, how much you would have made in iBuy over the years, which is a complete retail index, but it is sans the bricks and mortar companies, all right? Well, the way to be in that index is to have all your business, 90% of it, I think, something like that, online. And yesterday, Overstock up 5.7%, Wayfair up 5.9%, Fiverr. Fiverr doesn't sell goods, it sells services online. Fiverr, a fairly recent IPO out of Israel, Fiverr was up 6.6% yesterday. Chewy, okay, online dog food, up 4.8% yesterday. eBay, up 2%. Alibaba had a good day. It was up 3.2%. Alibaba is in a sideways trend, but it looks like it's threatening. It's trying to break through that resistance level. Etsy, which also, well, it sells mostly goods, but homemade goods. Etsy was up 6.1% yesterday. Mercado Libre, the Amazon of South America, was up 3.7%, and Shopify, another big day yesterday, 2.9%. Conspicuously absent, however, from the move in the online retail space yesterday, Amazon did not really participate yesterday. The work-from-home stocks, red hot yesterday. I'll give you an ETF to look at every day. WFH. That's a fun one. WFH. Work from home. This is a fairly recent IPO ETF by Direction Funds. It's the Direction Work from Home. You can see the action in that ETF yesterday. It broke out. And I saw just amazing moves yesterday in stocks like DocuSign. What else? Fastly, FSLY, iClick, ICLK, Five9, FIVN. Those stocks, many cloud stocks also, red hot yesterday. probably going to take a little bit of a dip here, a day off today. Futures, let's see, what do we got? We have had some earnings come in this morning. You've got an Eli Lilly antibody trial that's going to take place. We're going to get the results of that. We had pretty strong manufacturing data yesterday. It does show expansion. Both the ISM index and the PMI index both showed expansion despite the COVID issues. And, of course, you've still got the fighting taking place between the Democrats and the Republicans on the stimulus bill. And we'll get Disney earnings after the close tonight. Does anybody really care anymore with all their theme parks almost closed down and all their movie making closed down? That's a troubled company right now. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And as Stephen still says, where do we go from here? Where are we going now? You know, this market's about as hot as can be. Should be the way it is here on August the 4th, 2020. The weather's about as hot as could be. We had a little weather. We watched a hurricane come through our neck of the woods. It's an eerie sight to see that cloud circling above you. It almost makes you dizzy to watch. We never really had winds, I don't think, more than 30 miles an hour. This was a very weak, it became a hurricane for just a short period of time. I think it was a tropical storm when it came over us, but we've had worse thunderstorms. We get thunderstorms once or twice every single week that really are worse than what happened yesterday. But looking in the sky, it was right about sunset. When just this ugly, ugly sky, almost like you're expecting to see the face of God all of a sudden appear out of the clouds. That's how spooky and eerie it is. And you go outside and it's just this very weird, eerie sound that you hear. And normally we had the tide coming in at that point in time, and yet the water was being pushed the exact opposite way. It was going with the wind, and the water was going in the river the opposite direction, and it was going the same speed as the clouds in the sky. So, we came out of it pretty much unscathed, just a little bit of a plant damage and few things here and there that are down. I know to the north of us, just a couple hours, that's where it decided to come ashore. You'd never know, you know, you just never know. A storm like that has a mind of its own. But I will say this, 2 days ago, they were saying it's going to hit Charleston at about 8 p.m. on Monday night. Well, it hit Charleston at 8 p.m. on Monday night. They've gotten pretty good at predicting this stuff. You just don't know how intense it's going to be. So we dodged a bullet, beginning of hurricane season, more to come. Well, it's not hurricane season. The sun is shining brightly on Wall Street. I was looking just now. I updated my number of B-plus or better ranked stocks in my app. 921 out of 5,298. That is really good. That is superb. That's as hot as it gets. Now, that could stay that way for quite some time, or it could be an indicator that we're getting a little, or we have been, in an overheated state here for a while. The A-plus momentum stocks, about as high as it gets, 664 A-plus momentum stocks. And they're mostly focused in, I would say work from home stocks, the technology sector, some biotechs, et cetera. That's where most of those A-plus momentum stocks. That's a fun list to look at every day. I really look forward to starting my trip through the river of the Wall Street River to see where those A-plus momentum stocks are and where those B-plus or better graded stocks are in the app. Most of them, many of them I own, not most of them, but many of them I already own. All right, let's take a look here at what we've got to look forward. Well, they had a good night, very good action in Asia overnight. And I have been watching the Asia stocks. I noticed pretty good action yesterday in JD, Tencent Holdings. Alibaba looks like it wants to break out. China, Hong Kong was up 2% overnight. Japan up 1.7. China was up just 0.1%. Europe, on the other hand, which has been attempting to break out, I use VGK as my proxy for Europe. Europe was pretty much down overnight as they're watching our stimulus talks. I mentioned that both the ISM and the PMI manufacturing indexes back into expansion mode, just barely. But that's pretty good given the COVID situation right now. Now, here's some of the COVID trends that are taking place. Companies worldwide spent a record $34.6 billion on cloud services in Q2. Well, you say, what are cloud stocks? Well, they're, you know, Salesforce. You've got Salesforce.com, ServiceNow.com, Fastly, many of these work from home, Zoom, etc. That is a red-hot sector in the market. And there's a couple of cloud ETFs. I know the one that I've watched is Sky, S-K-Y-Y. And there's a new one out from WisdomTree, W-C-L-D. The cloud stocks have been on fire. Where are they spending money? Well, they've got to go to the cloud. Look at Jones Lang LaSalle. That's a big REIT. Shopping mall, shopping center REIT, one of the largest commercial real estate services, shifted roughly 90% of its employees to remote work due to the coronavirus. That represents about 90,000 workers. So the pressure of people working from home is being sopped up by the capability of cloud stocks that enable this to happen. And then, of course, you've got the other side of the street, literally the other side of the street, the bricks and mortar side of the street. 2020 is on track to have the highest number of retail bankruptcies in a decade. 43 retailers already filing for bankruptcy this year. And I guess Jeff Bezos laughing all the way to the bank. Lee Tote, owner of Lord & Taylor, that went down yesterday. And Tailored Brands, which, you know, I mean, you're probably pretty familiar. That's the old Men's Warehouse. Joseph A. Banks, the two got together to try to survive. But they've become the latest to join the retail graveyard. They filed for bankruptcy this past Sunday. Regeneron continues to become a player in the COVID-19 race. Now, they're in the antibody race, coming up with the antibody drug combination to treat COVID. They are seeing very good results from their cocktail, their COVID cocktail of two monoclonal antibodies. It was able to almost completely block establishment of virus infection in the animal study. Well, we're all learning a lot about phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 trials. The animal study is way at the beginning of things, but Regeneron has already launched late-stage clinical trials in humans to assess the antibody's treatment ability to prevent and treat COVID-19 in humans. So good news there. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. That Maria Bartiromo celebrating her 25th anniversary on Wall Street. I've been there almost the whole time, ringing the opening bell, and bring some luck. The markets just went positive. The Dow up 3 and the NASDAQ up 8. Well, that's pretty good considering we were down 100 on the Dow and 50 on the NASDAQ just a little while ago. So, Maria, you can ring the opening bell every day if you want to. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Marathon patent skyrockets as Robinhood traders latch on. What does Marathon Patent Group do? Okay, well, I've got some describing to do here. The latest fad in the IPO is these SPACs, SPACs, where they're taking an existing shell of a company and turning it into a blank check company, meaning that this blank check company then turn around and buy DraftKings, for instance. DraftKings did their IPO this way. One day the company was a nondescript blank check company without any kind of business, just a bunch of cash to go out and buy something, and the next day it was a gambling website company when they bought DraftKings. Nikola did the same kind of an IPO, I want to say. Who else has done that recently? There's been several that have gone that route. Well, the latest one, Marathon Patent Group, MARA, M-A-R-A, was up 90% yesterday. It is involved with Bitcoin mining. It's down 23% today. Expect extreme volatility. And there's even now an ETF coming out. The symbol will be SPAC that will invest in these companies as they emerge. They first come out with no business at all other than a blank check company, and then finally they end up buying something and getting a little bit of definition to what they actually do for a living. Well, MARA purchased Next Generation M31S plus ASIC miners. These are Bitcoin miners from MicroBT. Users holding MARA on Robinhood more than doubled today to make the cryptocurrency stock one of the biggest movers on the platform. Well, you know, I mean, I can say I saw such mania back in 2000 during the dot-com bubble when everybody seemingly was getting into the market to buy stock splits, to buy the latest company with the website, to buy the latest company that was going to sell goods online. That was called the dot-com bubble. And there are signs of, here and there, of a similar bubble today, excitement over the stock market. But I'm just going to continue to say that today's NASDAQ is not the same NASDAQ of 20 years ago. But it is something to keep your eye on, and the best indicator seems to be what these people are buying on Robinhood. Robinhood is an app, mostly millennials, I would say, probably using it as their platform of choice to buy and trade on. There's no fees. I think they can buy slices of stocks. You can put in $5 into Amazon if you want. And it's interesting to see the speculation taking place on Robinhood. Disney. Now let's go clear to the other end of the spectrum. Here's a big soggy stock right now that's really fighting all kinds of headwinds. But they will report earnings after the close tonight, as well as will Activision Blizzard, the gaming stocks. They've been doing very well. Take-Two reported earnings this morning, and they had pretty good earnings, blowout earnings. The gaming ETF, ESPO, E-S-P-O, is also doing very well. Beyond Meat will report earnings tonight. And Nikola, which doesn't even have a product yet, they have about $880 million, almost $1 billion in cash, however, to produce their dream truck. The Blizzard, is it called? The Ranger? No, that's the Ford. The Badger. The Badger is going to be Nikola's truck. It will come either with a fuel cell or a electric cell or both. Okay. So we've got some earnings previews of what's going to take place after the close tonight. Here's a new little bit of a trend. Listen up, Paul. Alphabet takes advantage of lower borrowing cost with a $10 billion bond sale. That's Google. You're not going to get very much in the way of a coupon in those bonds. They haven't listed that, but we haven't really seen these large tech companies. Why? Because they're flush with cash. Why do they need to go to the bond market? Well, the cost of borrowing is the lowest. You got record low borrowing cost right now. So I guess you could say, why not? AMD target lifted on Intel's systematic delay. Man, I can't believe the goofs and the boo-boos coming out of Intel these days. AMD is breaking out again today. Someone asked me yesterday, this is our largest holding by far at our firm. He said, would you buy it today? Well, I made the mistake. I said, I think I'm going to let it consolidate a little bit here. It's had a massive run. I should have said, yeah, it's still good to buy, which I think it is. I just, the technicals of it, it's so dang extended here. But guess what? It's up 3.8% today because it's getting another target price revision upwards. Well, I was way ahead of the pack on this one. Expecting accelerating share gains, Jefferies raises its AMD target price from 86 to 95. That's pretty good. It's at 80 right now. So that's some pretty good upside potential, if Jefferies is right. It just seems like in today's market, once a company upgrades a stock, it seems like the stock goes there. Almost when they set a new target price, it seems like the stock starts heading towards that target price almost immediately. This comes from analyst Mark Lapesis at Jefferies. He says that Intel's announcement that its 7-nanometer transistor would be delayed follows its 10-nanometer transistor delays. It leads us to believe its transistor challenges are systematic and that Taiwan Semiconductor and AMD, yes, I got to go yes because we own both of those, their transistor lead will extend. All right. Look at our most recent article on AMD. We put it out last Friday. What was the title? AMD will continue to expand their, something to the effect that they're going to continue to widen their lead over Intel. And now you've got Jefferies coming along and agreeing with us. Jefferies maintains a buy rating on AMD. We continue to own. It's our largest position. Firearm stocks, I have to mention this. They're higher. I saw Ruger break out. Guess what? Why? FBI background checks soar in July. Well, you've got a couple of reasons. Crime in major cities across America, especially New York City, going up quite rapidly. People wanting to protect themselves. Defunding the police talk isn't making us feel any safer. I guess I'm supposed to call a social worker if somebody's breaking into my home. So anyways, firearms stocks higher. Listen to this. The strong trend of interest in firearms continued in July with FBI background checks up 79% year over year during the month. Background checks up 79% on year over year. On an adjusted basis, background checks rose 122%, with the social unrest believed to have stoked a large amount of buying activity. Well, here's your little biotech of the day, A-T-H-E, A-T-H-E. Let's see what's going on there. They're up 181% today. How did I miss this one, huh? All the way up to $3.69. It's flashing off and on like a neon sign right now. Is the stock. What do they do? What did they come up with? A penetrant inhibitor of a newly aggregation for Parkinson's. Okay. Well, there you go. A-T-H-E, which I believe is out of Australia. Yes, out of Australia. They got something going on with Parkinson's disease. Their stock up 181%. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Jack, to the final segment. Do It Again is the name of that song. I've given out some pretty large winners here on my 23 years. Maria Bonnarone was 25 years. She's got a little bigger platform than I have. That's okay. I enjoy my platform. I'm in my 23rd year. I was actually invited with a group to ring the bell on the NASDAQ one day, and I opted out. I didn't want to travel to New York and miss a day of looking at charts and whatnot. That's important. I got a lot of people to take care of here. Who's going to babysit? Well, I've got plenty of help here, but I just opted out of going up there and doing that. But do it again, all right? Here's what we mean by that here on this show. I brought to you a stock by the name of Teladoc. This is not my featured stock of the day, but I want to remind you about Teladoc because it does lead into the featured stock of the day that I'm going to feature today. You can look at Teladoc and how it has done. It's one of the biggest winners of all time in the stock market. It went public back in 2015 at $15 per share. Today it's $238 per share. And it's one of the big winners in our ultra growth portfolio, which has propelled that thing to running circles around the S&P 500 since the one that I started on January 1st, 2019. You look for yourself. It's lapped the S&P 500 three times since inception because of stocks like Teladoc. Okay, Teladoc is from $15 to $237 per share. Teladoc recently reported earnings. They have not made they have not turned a profit yet. I think they're cash flow positive, but not a profit yet. And Teladoc reported that during the COVID quarter, that their sales increased and the visits increased 300%. Well, up until recently, Teladoc was the only telemedicine stock publicly traded. Now, other companies do offer it. I'm sure that CVS, which bought Aetna, I'm sure that United Healthcare, I'm sure that Anthem and whatnot, my own plan here in South Carolina offers telehealth visits. But President Trump today signed an order boosting telehealth. Political reports that President Trump will sign an executive order today aimed at boosting health care in rural areas. Well, in rural areas, it's not easy to drive to the doctor's office. Telehealth seems to be the huge answer for a lot of the needs in the rural areas. And we're seeing this coronavirus extend out into the rural areas. And President Trump thinks that telehealth is one of the big ways to address this issue. I agree. And there is now one other publicly traded stock that is devoted to virtual healthcare, and that is One Life Healthcare. One Life, not the consonants, or not the vowel O N E, consonant vowel O N E. It's one. The number, the numeral, One Life Healthcare Inc., which went public in late January of this year. You know, that was a pretty good time to go public. That's about just a few weeks before coronavirus really started showing up. Well, it went public at $14 per share. It went public in a very quiet way. It didn't create a lot of fanfare. I happened to just, you know, bump into it, and I looked at what they did for a living. I said, you know what? I mean, what? Teladoc now is a $17 billion company. One Life Healthcare, which is in the same business, is just a $3.8 billion company. The stock is now at 31 from $14. It's been as high as $45 per share. You know, it's always a bumpy ride. You get a new IPO, and they're not profitable yet. Their sales are growing by about 30% year over year in sales, but, of course, not profitable yet. I own One Life Healthcare in my emerging growth and in my ultra growth portfolios. Well, will it be another Teladoc? You know what? I don't know. The management compares to Teladoc's management. I know that they've got a rapidly growing sales. Look at their last four quarters, up 28%, up 40%, up 33%, up 25%. I can't really do a valuation on the shares yet because there's not. There aren't earnings. I do earnings-based valuations. That's all I can really look at right now is the model. And this being only the second publicly traded, I know there's another one that wants to go public out of Boston. It has not gone public yet. I'll be keeping my eye on that one. But this is the second telehealth company to go public. So I'll make that my featured stock of the day. 1M. O-N-E-M. But I made it the featured stock of the day because of what's going to occur later today when President Trump signs an order boosting telehealth. Hopefully investors will go looking for the leading telehealth stocks and stumble, just like I did, upon One Life Healthcare. We try to be at the forefront here. We try to be leaders and not followers here at Gunderson Capital Management, and let the others catch up to us someday. That's why you've always got to be on the prowl here. You can never rest on your laurels. I'm looking for new things every single day. I am on the prowl. The big difference here, we're not passive. We're not investing in ETFs and mutual funds with the model that is based on age. Well, you know what? That disregards the economy. That disregards the world events, current of all kinds of things, pandemics. We believe in active investing. And you can look at the results that we've turned out with our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to talk to us about our strategies from very conservative to very aggressive, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. All right, well, have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.